are watching Game Time Decisions. I am Gabriel Morenci. Welcome to the program that puts money where his fantasies are on the Fantasy Sports Television Network. We've got a full house this afternoon. Countdown to kickoff is on. And when I woke up this morning, I was less than enthusiastic about tonight's Monday night football game between the Houston Texans and the Baltimore Ravens. But considering the fact that I am a degenerate gambler and that I host a bunch of gaming shows, we've come up with six plays for this football game this evening. And I'm rolling the dice tonight, guys. But we'll be playing smaller units on this football game tonight because I've said it before and I'm going to say it again. The NFL isn't a Kim Jong-un State of the Union address. We're not North Koreans in which we are forced to sacrifice ourselves at the altar of the National Football League. And once again, I don't know. What happened to the flex schedule? I thought you guys had a flex schedule. What's up with that? Oh, when flex starts in when's the flex start? You start the flex in week 16? Does anyone have an answer to that? Where's the flex, man? Where's the flex? All right. So, yeah, Steve Merrill's going to join us. We're going to break down this game this evening. And like I said, I've got a couple of interesting props that I looked at tonight. But to me, tonight, college basketball, that's what's going to be in play. Steve Merrill's going to join us. We'll talk football, but we'll talk about the ACC Big Ten Challenge that starts this evening. We got the Maryland Terrapins in Syracuse. We have a very interesting basketball game with the Wisconsin Badgers and the Virginia Cavaliers on the board. Speaking of the Cavaliers, Cavaliers and 76ers, Tony Sincotta will join us. We'll talk NBA from a DFS perspective. And it's funny, you guys know, man, you know, I lay it down every day. We're here to give you picks every day, but I actually spent like 2-3 hours this morning going over NBA DFS. And I was doing Ready and Rage Radio today, and at the end of the show, Cam asked me, who do you like in the NBA? I'm like, God, I don't know, man. I can tell you about all the players, you know, so we're going to continue on that theme right now. Our DraftKings lineup yesterday, football, very, very similar to the way it's been every week this year. We nail it, man. We nail it. We've got players that no one has. We've got, you know, we're on top of things. We avoid the right guys. But always, man, there's always like one or two players that are just bad picks. Yesterday, Tariq Cohen. Bad pick. Bad pick. We still doubled our money. We're doing good in these double up things. And every sharp fantasy guy that I talk to, the guys that make money off this stuff and make a living off this stuff, they all tell me, forget about the tournaments, play in the cheap tournaments and stuff, but just do the double ups. Double ups. So we did double it up. So it's been a couple of weeks. We're getting into a zone. We'll start playing some NBA DFS and giving some DFS picks, NBA on the program. But I find NBA DFS to be incredibly frustrating. Man, you know, you get like 320 points and you still don't win. You got to be like perfect, 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 perfect. And I'm not perfect. All right, Jason Braddock. He's not perfect, but he's pretty damn close when it comes to breaking down football. Jason Braddock's going to join us from Houston, Texas. He'll give us a Houston perspective about this football game. And I think the Texans are going to show up tonight, actually. I just don't trust the Baltimore Ravens laying 7.5 points in this football game. So let's get right down to business right off the start of the program as it is time for Who Ruined Your Sunday? Well, I've said it before and I'm going to say it again. The National Football League has ruined my Sunday. And I've been watching the National Football League religiously on a weekly basis since about 1977, 1978 or so. And never have I been this disinterested. Basically, I watched the Buffalo Bill game yesterday and I had money on a couple of other games. Meanwhile, well, I counted down the hours until the start of a real football game in the Grey Cup. You know, it was an awesome weekend of sports, man. You know, on Friday, Central Florida and South Florida played the best college football game of the year by far. It was sick. It was awesome. You know, it was one of those deals where you really were saying, oh, my God, did this just really happen? They scored 3 touchdowns in a span of 50 seconds, man. You know, a late touchdown to take the lead in the game with like 1.5 minutes left. They kick off. Central Florida returns it for a touchdown. And then South Florida returns it. It was like if it was in a movie, you would have said, no, that can't, that, come on. You guys went a little bit too far with the second kickoff return in a row there. Well, but it happened. You know, no, but yeah, that didn't happen. You know, it was one of those deals. Friday night, man, Florida and Gonzaga. What a basketball game. One of the best college basketball games I've ever seen in my life. These guys were bringing it last night. And I know, I'm assuming that all you were up last night, right, at 2 in the morning, watching Duke play Florida. I don't know why they had that game on so late, man. I know it was in Portland, but come on. Yeah, it was freaking ridiculous. I realized that as I was watching a game. I'm like, why are college basketball kids playing at 1:17 in the morning on a Sunday night? It's all about the students, isn't it? So we had some great freaking action. And then we had the NFL. You know, how about tonight's football game? Everybody really fired up? I remember, in the old days when I actually had a girlfriend and you know, there'd be those Sundays, you know, around the holidays and stuff. You know, I'm one of these guys, I don't like missing anything, okay? I watch every week, every game, religiously. Simple as that. I don't like missing anything. Right now, I don't know, man. I think I'm going to start, like, going to a soup kitchen on Sundays and, like, feeding soup to homeless people. I'm going to do something productive in my life instead of watching this steaming pile of crap league. The league sucks, okay? It's boring. There's a million freaking commercials. The announcers suck. The coaches suck. The games suck. Everything sucks about the National Football League, including the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Now, coming into this week, I'm starting to learn my lesson about the NFL. This isn't, like I said, this isn't North Korea, man. It's not a, you know, a Kim Jong-un, you know, State of the Union address where you get shot in the back of the head unless, you know, you bow down and watch and bet. I'm tired of it. You know, there's other things to bet on besides the NFL. You know, if I see a couple of spots that I like, I'll take them. And, you know, because I'm a stupid idiot, I thought that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers were in a pretty good spot yesterday, getting 10 points against the Atlanta Falcons. You know, they were getting blown out early, but we were getting 10. So we figured, we're still in this thing. They come back late, but when it's all said and done, when your money is on Ryan Fitzpatrick, you've got big problems because all you've got is hope. And if all you have is hope, you're in big freaking trouble in this world, all right? Hope doesn't pay the bookie. Hope doesn't pay the bills, now does it? And, you know, neither does Ryan Fitzpatrick if you bet on him. The fact that Ryan Fitzpatrick's still in the National Football League really just is an indication of how bad the NFL truthfully is. And the fact that Ryan Fitzpatrick really isn't even the worst guy in the NFL really proves how bad the National Football League is. There's 350 million people in America, yet, I don't know, there's maybe 12 good quarterbacks, and Ryan Fitzpatrick is not one of them. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers ruined my Sunday, or at least they upset a part of it. I actually did pretty good yesterday with my bets. I had the Buffalo Bills, winner. I had the Tennessee Titans, winner. I had the LA Rams, winner. The only game I lost, actually, was the Tampa Bay Buccaneers up until a little bit later in the day, and we'll get to that. Where I got kicked in the teeth yesterday, and I played a lot of high-roll season-long fantasy football leagues, you know, $200 entries, $300 entries, and I'm the commissioner. I got to pay these people out, all right? And I don't have the money in a shoebox, and it's not in a bank account. So I want to win. You'll get paid. I got to win. I got to win a couple of these leagues. Well, it's hard to win a league when Michael Thomas is on two of my teams, all right? Michael Thomas blows, man. I'm so sick of this crap. I'm not one of these losers. I don't blame him. I blame myself for drafting him. You know, the fact of the matter is he wasn't ready to be a number one wide receiver in the National Football League. And I don't understand how the Saints win every week. Yeah, Michael Thomas, it's the same crap every week. 5 catches, 62 yards, 2 freaking touchdowns on the entire season. When I stocked up and I drafted this guy earlier in the year, I was expecting 2 touchdowns a damn game, man. You know, Michael Thomas, you ruined my Sunday. You're going to cost me thousands of dollars with your weekly ass crap, man. You know, I'm getting pretty sick of Kareem Hunt, too, to be honest with you. All right, Kareem Hunt couldn't open up a can of Hunt's tomato sauce right now, let alone punch a ball into the damn end zone. What was it? What was it yesterday? 11 carries, 17 yards against the Buffalo Bills? Really? The Buffalo freaking Bills? Everybody's run on the Buffalo Bills. Everybody's run on the Buffalo Bills this year, except Kareem Hunt. Yeah, we had 2 fantasy points. Thanks, Kareem. That's $3,600 down the drain for me. Dak Prescott. Yeah, it wasn't on Sunday. This guy ruined my Thursday, my Friday, my Saturday, and my Sunday. I got to drop Dak Prescott. I'd rather stream some pile of crap from the trash heap than have Dak Prescott out there right now. This is crunch time in fantasy football world, and all my players are falling apart. Jordy Nelson, nothing. Nothing. Yeah, National Football League's a lot of fun, isn't it? Which leads me into the Pittsburgh Steelers. I really hate the Pittsburgh Steelers, all right? Like, I'm just going to call it out for what it is. I never hated them before. I used to always be right on every Pittsburgh Steeler football game. Yeah, I was legendary. People in Pittsburgh used to ask me, what's going to happen? Now, I don't know what the hell's going to happen, man. You could give me Biff's Sporting Almanac from Back to the Future, and I would still lose. I don't know. I didn't even like that stupid game last night. But, no, let me lay the points with the Pittsburgh Steelers. And then I see after the mainstream media who suck rocks. All right? Yeah, you guys are terrible. Pittsburgh Steelers, Super Bowl contenders. Yeah, because they're so dominant against the Colts last week. They're so dominant against the Green Bay Packers last night. And there they are after celebrating like they won the damn Super Bowl. You guys don't have a hope in hell. I have a better chance of having sex with Shania Twain than you guys do beating the New England Patriots in the damn playoffs. The Pittsburgh Steelers suck. You ruined my Sunday. Good for you. You won. Ooh, we won. We beat Green Bay by 3. Yeah, ooh, dominant performance, guys. The Pittsburgh Steelers ruined. Well, they didn't fully ruin my Sunday night because that Grey Cup was so damn good and Shania Twain was so hot. But ultimately, I think the best thing on TV last night was probably Miss Universe. And, you know, after watching that Grey Cup, it was kind of a letdown going to the NFL. And, you know, I'm doing a live podcast during these games. And people are like, Morenci, put it on Fox right now. Put it on Fox. And I'm glad that I did. I'm not a big beauty pageant person, but I think I'm going to start getting back into this stuff. And you can bet on it. Generally, always bet on Miss Venezuela. Venezuelans have dominated beauty pageants over the years, but Miss South Africa was so damn hot. Although I would have voted for Colombia, but that's besides the point. So the moral of the story is, if you don't want your Sunday ruined, don't watch the National Football League. Who ruined your Sunday?
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
Game time decisions on Fantasy Sports Network continues. And like I said, forget about sports. And even during the commercial break, these guys are like, oh, damn, yeah, look at Miss South Africa. Not Cameron Tujuh. He's married. He has no opinion on Miss South Africa. What shot do we have? I noticed you're in the intro. Do we have the shot in the bikini or do we only have the shot with the crown? Yeah, that's the worst shot. We only have the crown shot. What gets the crown shot? Sorry, but we're just being honest here. But check. Do yourselves a favor, though. Just punch in Miss Columbia after. I know I'm going to after the show. It's not true. I'm going right to a doctor after this show. Oh, all kidding aside. No, I'm not even kidding. I'm going right to a doctor. The NFL is wearing me out, man. I'm falling apart. I think the doctor's going to tell me, stop watching the NFL. It's going to be better for your health. All right, so yeah, we got a great show. Jason Brad is going to join us from Houston. We'll talk about this football game tonight, the Houston Texans and the Baltimore Ravens. We also have the Rockets and the Nets in H-Town tonight. So he'll be our H-Town correspondent this evening. The Tony Cicada will join us. We'll talk some NBA DFS. We'll talk about tonight's Monday Nighter, the Monday-Thursday contest. We'll talk football, basketball with Tony Cicada. We welcome Steve Merrill to the fold right now, who I think is kicking himself. He didn't even know Miss Universe was on last night.
Yeah, but I'm kicking myself because I didn't save the odds ahead of time, because that's actually what I like to look at.
Yeah, you know what? I bet on some beauty pageants in the past, and it's one of these deals where, you know, I do a nightly podcast. I'm on the air. We're watching all these games. We bet on everything, and we like to have fun betting on everything, and I would have laid it down. Nothing wrong with cashing in. I probably would have lost, but I would have taken Miss Venezuela I tell you, in Venezuela, man, they take that stuff seriously, beauty pageants. But in the end, Miss South Africa was the winner.
You know, this is a good idea for any sports books that are listening or watching the show right now. Is I've never understood why, you know, they don't take a little bit of space and archive odds, because they'd get so much traffic. Like, you and I would both go right now to check what the odds were because we forgot to save them or look at them ahead of time. And I do that for NASCAR. You know, I save the futures for Heisman. I save them for NASCAR. And I literally have to physically save the odds while they're live so that I have them for my research and my database. You know, why wouldn't it be nice if somebody just put that on the cloud or just kept an archive page on one of the major offshore books and we could pull it up right now and they'd get some good exposure out of it?
You know, it's crazy, too. There's not, in the fantasy business, I think there's a big void for that, too. You know, there's, as far as documentation and live scores and results, et cetera. You know, it's just a pain in the ass, right? How did everyone do in the NBA tonight? You got to look for each individual player. There should be, like, nightly stuff, but... Yeah, looks like I got to come
up. Let's get Fantasy Sports and my boys at Covers.com. Let's team them up, and maybe we can make that happen. I would think that's in their wheelhouse.
Yeah, I know. Then they can both make money off it. You and I are on the outside looking in.
Yeah, hey, they know, you know, some good karma there with them.
I was going to say, I shouldn't say this out loud, but I was going to say, you and I should just talk off the air after and create our own app, Steve.
I'm available.
Hey, all right. I got to start getting into this app business. Seems like websites are getting old. Everybody, you need an app. I remember all like these you know, the Wix.com, all these like people to make websites for you and stuff. Now the all new ads are like, yeah, forget about that. You know, website, you need an app. You know, you got to get an app. Mark Lawrence got an app, Steve. We got to get our crap together. Lawrence is ahead of the curve with technology, isn't he?
Yeah, you know, you'd think that's crazy, but he's also always been ahead of the curve because he's been doing this since the late 1970s. He was the originator in basically every realm. So surprising in one regard, but not surprising in another.
All right, so it was a great weekend of sports. Central Florida and South Florida was the best college football game of the year by far. Quinton Flowers racked up 605 yards of offense. It was unbelievable. Just back and forth, like the kids collapsing on the field after. I got goosebumps now just thinking about the game. It was an awesome football game. Auburn rolls Alabama. The Tide got rolled. Gonzaga, Florida on Friday night, some of the best college basketball I've ever seen. Then last night, Duke in Florida. Epic comeback by the Duke Blue Devils. Canadian Football League Championship last night. Great Cup. Awesome football games, Dave. So much drama. And you had a 100-yard touchdown pass. You had a 100-yard fumble return in the same game. The longest ever touchdown pass in 105-year history of the Great Cup. Longest ever fumble return in 105 years. And all that leads into the NFL, which is just... Man, this is not a memorable year for the NFL, Steve. What a crappy card yesterday.
No, and most of the big favorites won big, and I had three big underdogs that did not work out. And obviously, hindsight is 20/20, and every smart, intelligent client out there is like, why do you take bad teams? And I'm like, well, you know, you're
brilliant.
I'm taking
a bad team tonight, so let me guess which bad teams did you have. Cleveland Browns?
I had three of them.
Cleveland Browns?
Correct.
All right, Cleveland Browns.
Well, you know there are three that lost. I kind of hinted at that already.
Yeah, okay, it's true. All right, so not enough time. Who else did you have besides the Bears?
The Bears and the Bucks. So I didn't have the Dolphins.
Okay, the Bucks. Yeah, I was on the Bucks yesterday too. I bitched about
that
game.
And that one actually almost covered. That was 7-point game late. But yeah, you know, hey, look, you know, and I didn't have a few of the other ones that didn't cover either. Like the Dolphins didn't cover. The 49ers didn't cover. Yeah, I mean, the sports books probably did not make out too well, other than the Packers covering Sunday night, which was probably pretty big for them because that was probably the heaviest bet game, obviously.
Favorites were 13-2 straight up, 12-3 against this spread.
Wow.
The Buffalo Bills and the Arizona Cardinals were the two big, the money makers on the money line, if you took them as the underdogs. But it's pretty much been like a month or so, Steve, where every week the favorites just crush in this league right now. I agree
exactly.
With you. I remember in past years... You know, it used to sort of be an automatic blind take. You know, in the super contest and stuff, the consensus was always just the double-digit dogs. Doesn't matter how bad they were. It would just be the double-digit dogs. It seems to me, Steve, that it's almost reversed now. You're better off just blindly believing in the favorite to kill the other team than taking it the other way.
Well, look, in college football for years, I've never been afraid to play big favorites. I had a strong best bet on Clemson Saturday night, blowout win over South Carolina. You know, I'm not afraid to lay double digits in college football because there's disparities and, you know, there's higher scoring games. That was never the case in the NFL, but recently it's starting to change because not because of the disparity, but because of the passing style of the league, you get more blowout results now than you did back 10, 15 years ago when they were running the ball more. So there's no question that you can play big favorites more in the NFL. But still, I thought some of those spots yesterday, like, you know, who thought Philadelphia would be up for that game after the big Dallas win on Sunday night on a short week? Cincinnati, not exactly a great team either. I thought Cleveland had a chance maybe to keep that close. And Atlanta coming off the huge Monday night win at Seattle on a short week coming back home. So a lot of those were situational plays for me as well. They just didn't work out.
Yeah, the situational plays have been trouble the last couple of years. I've been there right there with you. Good call on Friday night stating that Virginia Cavaliers weren't on Virginia Tech's level. So as far as tonight is concerned, and sort of like last night, I didn't even like the game last night at all. I didn't like the Sunday night at all. I ended up betting it. And I was like, all right, whatever, man. I'll just take the Pittsburgh Steelers. At least I clued in early that there was going to be points in the game. So I sort of chased some in-game overs, and it softened the blow for me. And then I crushed college basketball on the way out last night, although I was up all night again. It's killing me, man. Falling apart. I look like crap here, Steve. But
see that doctor.
Yeah, no, I literally am right after this. I got a lot of issues. The last thing I do is need to be up. I mean, come on, I'm watching Washington State Cougars and San Diego State Aztecs at 3 in the morning last night. Like, and I joked earlier, but it's all about the students and going to school, isn't it, Steve? They had Duke and Florida playing. Two East Coast teams were playing. At one point, I remember looking up, it was like 1:17 in the morning and on a Sunday night, and I'm thinking, like, really? Like, why are you guys doing this, like, to these kids? And it's just, but, hey, it was fun to bet on in the middle of the night on a Sunday night. So, yeah, tonight, Steve, I think a lot of people, the public, are just going to sort of jump on the Baltimore Ravens here blindly and lay the 7.5. I'm going to go contrarian on this one, and I will repeat, and I'll say this again when I give my plays of the day later. I will not be betting big units on this game, guys. But it's on TV. It's Monday Night Football. You know, you're not paying for picks. You want an opinion, I'm going to give you my opinion. You can bet it. You can fade it. You can do what you want with it. But I think the Houston Texans hang around. I just don't trust Baltimore laying 7.5 in this spot.
Yeah, I actually had the over last night of the Sunday night game. So even though the afternoon was rough, I finished it with a pretty easy winner there on Sunday night. And one thing I liked about the over there was I thought Hundley, I didn't think Green Bay would necessarily win the game outright, although they almost did. But I thought Hundley would start to play better, and I thought Pittsburgh's defense was a little vulnerable. And you got to wonder if that's the same analogy tonight, because obviously the Houston Texans have some serious quarterback issues right now with Deshaun Watson out. Tom Savage was awful the first 2 weeks of the season before Watson came in. Then they turned things around. They were one of the best offenses in the league. And then once he got hurt, they became one of the worst offenses again for a couple games. However, last week they finally broke out against Arizona. They put up 31 points at home. And you just have to wonder, does that carry over, or was that a one-and-done deal against, you know, a very lackluster Cardinal team? Baltimore is a decent defensive squad. Their offense, though, has been terrible this year. What's interesting, though, is Houston's defense has been bad. You know, they're known as one of the best defensive teams in the league last year. Not the case this year. They're giving up 26 points a game and 6 yards per play. So it's a pretty low total when you consider those factors, and it's only around 39.5.
You know, it's interesting. You're right. The Houston Texans' weakness this year, you can attack them if you can throw the football. You know, they're ranked 28th in the National Football League, giving up 258 yards a game through the air. But can Joe Flacco take advantage of that?
They've been awful.
You know?
Awful.
Yeah, what do they average, 185 in the air? I don't have the numbers.
Here's what I look at. Yeah, 165 yards a game, but here's what I look at. 4.9 yards per pass for the season. 4.9 yards per pass. I mean, that's atrocious.
It is. Yeah, now they're healthier now at least, right? Perryman's always hurt. I've kind of given up on that kid. But, you know, they are healthier. Got Danny Woodhead back right now. Woodhead really didn't do anything, though, in return. Last week, it's a strange football game. The Baltimore Ravens, too, Steve, at 5-5, they haven't won back-to-back games once this year. They've never been able to string together back-to-back wins. Now laying the 7.5. Like I said, it's no lock by any stretch, but I'm going to go contrarian, and I guarantee you the consensus is going to be on Baltimore. What's the consensus?
High 60s, last I saw.
Yeah.
I'd say 65-70%. Yeah, the public's going to be on the Ravens, and then on top of that, the line's 7.5 because of that, so you're getting – you're laying a very critical extra half point if you're taking them.
Now, I know a lot of people are thinking, wow, this game will be an under. This game will be an under. Well, some people disagree. Somebody bet it up because it went up from 38.5, a full point, up to 39.5. And six straight Monday night games have gone over the number. These primetime games have just sort of found a way of getting there. I'm not betting the under. I think it creeps over the number somehow. Look, at you were on the over last night. That was 43. It was way too low. Look, it
Correct.
Sailed over.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, anything in the 30s now is a very low total, as you know, for modern NFL football. And I think that's another reason you start to see a little bit of action on the over. Hey, by the way, you know, don't get fall in love with Baltimore's 40 points against Miami 3 weeks ago. They only had 121 passing yards in that game and only 174 rushing yards. So that was a very misleading. That's a game that went over 38. Remember, they did it on their own. So we'll see if that's a similar outcome tonight.
We should note, if you're liking Baltimore and you're like, man, I don't like the way these guys are talking about this game right now, this is something to hang your hat on. The favorite in the over combination is hitting six straight Monday Night Football games. Thinking about that. You could have taken a favorite and the over and a parlay, hit nice plus 250, plus 260, a parlay, six straight Monday nights in a row. Each of the four past home favorites have won by double digits, and this is dominant. The Baltimore Ravens under John Harbaugh, they've won nine straight games under the lights in primetime television. Harbaugh is 11-1 under the lights in night games in primetime television. And the Texans have always struggled. Bill O'Brien, 5-15 in primetime. But it's 7.5. Harbaugh might win this game again and be 12-1. Doesn't mean he's going to cover the point spread.
Yeah, and that last primetime game was that 40-0 Miami win on that Thursday night. They had the bye week going into Green Bay last week, an impressive 23-0 win. However, they had a 5-1 turnover edge. Once again, they only ran the ball 58 yards and only threw for 161. So it's a little misleading, though, because they were 22-28. So what they're doing this year is they're basically dumping off little short passes. So that's why the yardage is low and the yards per pass is low. But they are completing 65% of their passes. But in most fantasy leagues, I assume you get points for yardage and touchdowns, so that probably doesn't do you much good with Flacco.
And I'll tell you what, though, even though they're 4-6 only, it's a big game tonight. The Ravens 5-5. The AFC playoff picture is not a very good one. The Buffalo Bills are 6-5, and that's a precarious situation there. And they get the Patriots this week. They're hanging on to the sixth seed. So I'm not saying the Houston Texans are coming all the way back, but they won last week. They come into the room tonight feeling better. You know what I'm saying? It's like, hey, the Bills are in the playoffs. They only have six wins. They're going to lose to the Patriots. We're not out of this yet. So, you know, they have something to play for. All right, we've only got a minute or two here, Steve. ACC Big Ten Challenge tonight, Maryland and Syracuse. Terps are 6-1 straight up on the year. They've beaten Butler, New Mexico. They lost to St. Bonaventure. The Orange are 5-0. They haven't really played anybody. Their teams are a combined 8-0 to the under on the season so far this year. But, you know, you look at Syracuse, and it's a tough place to play, man. They're very good at home, 12-5 against the spread last 17 home games.
Yeah, of course, you got to be able to shoot over the zone defense. And Maryland, not a great three-point shooting team. They get a lot of baskets down low in transition. So that'll be an interesting matchup to see what they can do against that zone on the road.
I look forward to your opinion on this one. I'm going to go contrarian on this, too. I know the Badgers have three losses already, but, man, they played some tough teams so far this year. Baylor, UCLA, and Xavier. I don't like the UCLA loss, but it was at the buzzer. Xavier, a damn good basketball team. So I think people are like, oh, the Badgers are terrible. Look, they lost three games. I don't think they are terrible. Point spread up to 8.5 right now. I like the Badgers against the Cavaliers. What do you make of this one?
Yeah, and the line's dropped in some spots down to 7 today, 7.5. So it's been moving around, and I think a little bit of money has been coming on to Wisconsin. When it's a very low-scoring game, a 122 total, two good half-court teams, you know, that probably means a tight game, and I think you lean towards the underdog for that reason.
All right, we got to get out of here. Steve, always a pleasure. Check out Steve's picks over at ProSportsInfo.com or Covers Experts. Always a pleasure, Steve.
Thanks, Gabe.
All right, we'll take a quick break. Tony Cincata joins me next.
If you're playing daily fantasy basketball on DraftKings or FanDuel this NBA season, you need to sign up for Daily Roto. Built by a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. Better yet, you can save 10% off using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium to learn more about their product.
Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. I am Gabe Morenzer. Let's bring in the Tony Cincata. Let's talk some football and some NBA basketball from a betting and a fantasy perspective. Start off with fantasy, though. And, Tony, I opened up the show talking about this. These guys are going to cost me a lot of money, man. You know, right now, this is crunch time in the fantasy football world in season-long leagues. I'm in one league, $300 entry, $3,600 to the winner. I'm the commissioner. I don't want to pay these people back. Yeah, I want to win, Tony. You know what I'm saying? So,
I got the same situation, and I'm trying to figure out if everyone paid me.
So, exactly. I'm like, oh, God, this is getting real right now. And every, almost like the with all the players that almost helped me get where I am are now killing me in the opposite way. And, you know, we'll start off with Kareem Hunt. I thought I was a genius for drafting Kareem Hunt. Oh, yeah, I was a genius. The guy's scored a touchdown since week three. 11 carries, 17 yards. He had two points in the NFL.com format. How am I going to win, Tony, with 2 points from Kareem Hunt? Michael Thomas. Listen, the Saints are winning, and he doesn't suck, but he's got 2 touchdowns on the year. He can't deal with double teams. He got pushed into being a number one wide receiver too quickly. Yeah, it's, you know, you look great last year because Cooks was the one getting double teamed. But I got to tell you, from a fantasy standpoint, and I took this guy like 13th overall, 15th overall category range, he's freaking killing me, Tony.
Here's the problem. You play fantasy football and you play season long, and this is the difference between season long and daily, which I love the daily side. I play both. But you're a hostage. You can't do anything. You got to keep putting those guys out there and basically hope for the best. Here's the problem. Kareem Hunt, now we know that he's indicative of the Kansas City offense. When Kansas City is playing well and Alex Smith is throwing down the ball down the field and connecting and they're putting up 30-plus points like they did the first 6 games of the year, Kareem Hunt's going to be good. But he's not a guy that's a difference maker. He can't do it by himself. So when Alex Smith is back to old Alex Smith and putting up 10, 14 points, guess what? You know what? You're not going to get in the end zone. Michael Thomas, not only does he only have 2 touchdowns, he only has one game of over 100 yards receiving. Right, he's so just not a number one.
Let's look at the Monday-Thursday contest. And like most NFL primetime games, they suck. I don't know why the NFL just insists on this crap, but it is what it is. So the Texans' defense has really struggled since losing J.J. Watt and Whitney Merciless. They've allowed 16 touchdown passes in the last 6 games. But the question is, can Joe Flacco take advantage of that? He's $5,400. Thursday night is the Cowboys and the Redskins. It's in Dallas. So you got Kirk Cousins, Dak Prescott, Tom Savage, Joe Flacco as your quarterback options. I'm assuming a lot of people will be on Kirk Cousins.
Yeah.
I look at this game tonight. It's kind of tricky from a DFS standpoint. One guy, though, $4,600, Mike Wallace. He scored touchdowns in back-to-back games, and I'm going to combine fantasy and betting here, which I love to do. Mike Wallace, a prop. Will he score a touchdown? Plus 162. I'm going to put a little money on that. I wouldn't shock me if Wallace finds the end zone again tonight.
Wallace has double-digit fantasy points in the last 2 games, which if you want to go before that, 1.96. And then he had a 19 and 17. So he's got 4 out of the last 6 games. He's the lone deep threat. The Baltimore Ravens are trying to make an effort to get the ball down the field. I think with Danny Woodhead in the backfield, that's going to keep the linebackers in play. That's going to keep the safeties in play. And Mike Wallace might be able to get the ball deep. I like the Wallace play tonight. And you talked about the price. The price is really inviting at $4,600. So I would play him ahead of Anquan Boldin tonight for sure.
What do you do with the Thursday game? So do you sort of stack Thursday and what, Redskins, Jamison Crowder? Like, it's an ugly card. This is a tough one.
Yeah.
It's hard to rattle off. If I play this, this is one where you got to sit there for like an hour, Tony, right? You're going to be like, all right, this guy, you don't know, you know?
The only two guys I think that you have to play on the Thursday night game is Perrine because he just gets so much volume and he's the only running back left there. So he's going to carry the ball 20 times and they feature in the passing game.
Yep.
And he has a chance to get in the end zone and Jamison Crowder. We're talking double digit targets there. Here's the problem, though, if you go and you try to take a shot on Josh Doctson, you better get in the end zone with Josh Doctson because he doesn't get enough catches to be fantasy worthy, even against this Dallas secondary. He's $5,100, right? Let's look what he really has done. 10 fantasy points, 12, 7, 8.9, 7, 6.9, 8.1. Like, I don't understand why every fantasy show talks about Josh Doctson. He hasn't done anything.
No, I agree with you. I wouldn't even consider him. Like, to me, I'd get a piece of Crowder. I think what the Redskins is right now, I don't know. I'm going to go out on a limb and say that Jordan Reed's questionable this week.
Yeah. So you start out, you got Perrine. You want to get Hopkins in no matter what, right? Hopkins in there and Jamison Crowder. And those are the guys you build your foundation from and go from there. And I'll tell you the truth. If you want to go contrarian to Kirk Cousins, I would probably go with Tom Savage.
You can't go with Dak Prescott. Dak Prescott's killing me. I have him in a season long. I got to drop him. Like, I got to bench him. I, you know, like you said, I bit the bullet the last 2 weeks. I was like, all right, you know, okay, you know, they're going to be from behind. It's just not happening. I swear. No. Streaming quarterbacks, I picked up Blake Bortles off of, he's a free agent. Picked him up last week. The guy gave me 19 points.
Yeah. You know, it's like, yeah, I said, I don't know how he does it, but he keeps continuing to do it. I got to tell you what the crazy part of that Dallas situation is. I thought the one guy that would really improve would be Cole Beasley, and that's gone the opposite way. Yeah. The Ezekiel Elliott has shown how poor of a coach Jason Garrett is, and it'll be amazing to see if he survives this.
All right, NBA DFS. We've only got about 3 minutes here tonight. Oh, what do you think about the game tonight? I think it's going to be closer than people think. I just don't trust Baltimore laying 7.5.
No, absolutely not. I would absolutely be gobbling up the points, and I go over.
Yeah, I agree. That's what I got. All right, so speaking of overs tonight, we got the Nets and the Rockets, the NBA tonight, NBA DFS, 8 games on the board. Nets and Rockets. Houston leads the NBA in three-point attempts, 44.3 a game. Brooklyn, 33.4. Wow, it's 77 three-point shots tonight, maybe. You're going to have a couple pairs in your lineup. I think Harden's pretty much a must play. I've always been a Spencer Dinwiddie fan. You know, it kind of sucks he's up to 7,300 right now. I liked him when he was cheaper. You got the Warriors game tonight. Injury situation, chaos. You know, everyone's a game time decisions right there. But I tell you what, Jordan Bell could be worth a look if everyone's hurt. Or a Swaggy P and Nick Young. And then we got the Cavs and the Sixers tonight. What are you taking a look at NBA DFS tonight? Who are a couple of players you like?
The guy that I like from Golden State is Omri Caspi because he's $3,800 on DraftKings. Unlike Nick Young, Nick Young's a guy that's really, really good.
We just got some confirmation here from as much as we can get in today's fake news world. But Durant and Curry expected to be out, right?
So yes, out tonight.
That opens up. I got to take a piece of Nick Young then, man.
Yeah. So here's the thing with that. I think you got to go Omri Caspi, too. He's going to get 30 minutes of play, and he'll get across the board. He'll get a couple assists. He'll get a couple steals, a couple guards. He'll be in there. Patrick McCaw can be playable. When you talk about James Harden now, you're going to be able to get anyone you want in tonight because you're also going to have with Brooklyn, I guess Joe Harris will probably get some more playing time as well. Jarrett Allen's another guy you can look at. So you're going to be able to get a plenty of cheap options that you want to hit on your stars tonight, and I think you go there. Now, the one thing to be crazy about with that Golden State game, that Sacramento team runs a really slow offense. So the $3,800 players are in play. I wouldn't play Klay Thompson, even though he's going to get more of a workload tonight.
Yeah, I got to keep my eye on Hollis Jefferson tonight, too, actually, whether he's going to be in the lineup. And, you know, I look at this. There's going to be a ton of points scored. Every time the Nets and the Rockets play, there are a million points scored. You know, in the month of November, the Rockets are averaging 120 points a game, Tony.
They're my favorite team to watch. I mean, you look at it, even a guy like P.J. Tucker that comes off the bench is a guy that's rosterable in daily fantasy, and there's not many times you can go there. Tonight, Clint Capella has a great matchup. They don't defend the center position very well. And depending on the injuries there, Trevor Booker is a guy that hasn't played over 23, 24 minutes. If he can get 3 or 4 minutes, he's going to be huge. He'll get a double-double tonight because he'll get double-digit rebounds and he'll get 15, 16 points.
I was looking at Trevor Booker as well this evening. All right, so for more NBA DFS picks and some NFL talk, tune in at 6 o'clock. Tony's going to be back on the air with Dane Martinez. And then, of course, Tony pulls the all-nighter 11 o'clock on Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Always a pleasure, Tony. Thanks for the time, buddy.
Take care, my man.
There's Tony. Tony Cicada. Let's take a quick break. We send it to Texas. Jason Braddock joins me next.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
A lot of fun stuff going on in the college football world, man. A lot of coaching carousel has begun, controversies, protests. Yesterday when you were watching NFL football and the ultra-hot Shania Twain last night, they were outside Neyland Stadium. They weren't too happy about the potential hiring of Greg Schiano as a new head coach of Tennessee. But let's start off with a Monday nighter, and we'll kick the tires a little college football and get the little Rocket talk in here. Rockets Nets tonight. Jason Braddock joins us from Houston, Texas. It's always a pleasure, my man. How you doing, Jason?
Doing great. No, I mean, you're up in Canada. No Grey Cup talk. We got a former Houston Texan winning the MVP.
I got to tell you, it was a great football game last night. It was on ESPN2, and I tell you, Devere Posey had an awesome game last night, Jason. He lit it up, this kid, former Ohio State Buckeye.
Yeah, absolutely. I was just telling Sean that I was at that 2012 draft when the Texans selected Devere Posey.
What was his problem in the NFL then? How come it didn't work out? What happened?
What happened was they took him earlier than he should have. He was a developmental wide receiver that needed time to develop, and then he had an injury. And I remember watching him over there in the sand at the Texans facilities trying to come back from a very severe injury, and he was running in the sand. And in camp, he would just show up. But it just never clicked on game day. But not all of that's Devere Posey's fault. You look at the quarterbacks that have come through here with the Houston Texans since Devere Posey was drafted, and I just think a lot of times it's not just about talent at the NFL. It's about opportunity, the coaches you're with, the quarterback you're with, the scheme. So there's a lot of variables, and you've seen the kid obviously has the talent.
As you stated, people think, oh, it's professional sports, and the politics aren't involved either. But no, politics are ultra involved. You know, it's funny. Years ago, buddies with Kyle Turley, I remember years ago, you remember the kid Casey Printers, Texas Christian quarterback. Casey Printers, right. He's a big star in the CFL, MVP of the Canadian Football League, and so he goes to Kansas City. And it was the year they drafted Brody Croyle, if you remember, out of Alabama.
Alabama kid.
Great quarterback, yeah. So, Brody Croyle. So they had one of the crappy Horde brothers there. I don't know, Brock Horde, I guess, Damon Horde, yeah, Damon. So they had Damon Horde.
Yeah, I think it was Brock.
Okay, no, Brock.
Who was that? Yeah, they're the same.
Whatever, I think it was Damon, I don't know. So they had Damon, they had Brody Croyle, and they had Casey Printers. And my buddy Kyle Turley's on the team. And so they're going through camp, and I asked him, how's it going? And I said, how's Casey Printers doing? Because I was a big Casey Printers fan. And he goes, Gabe, I'll tell you what, he's by far our best quarterback. He goes, everyone in the room knows it. And he ended up on the practice roster. So I said, well, if he's lighting it up, how come? And he said, well, it's pretty clear, because the GM drafted Brody Croyle. And Herm Edwards, Herm's a career football guy. Herm told Casey Printers, if it's up to me, man, I'd start you, but that's not how this league works. You know it, Jason, right? You know?
I do know.
You're a walk-on from the CFL. Politically, they can't make you the starter. If things go bad, then they lose their jobs. It's one of these weird, it's like Jeff Garcia. It was hard for Garcia to get that chance. And then when he did, Doug Flutie. These guys, they don't want to give guys a chance, man.
They don't. It's all you laid it out perfectly. I really don't have anything to add to it because you laid it out to a T, and there's no exaggeration or hyperbole in what you're saying. That still happens every and each day in the NFL.
Yeah, it does. All right, so as far as tonight, I brought this up earlier tonight. The public's going to be all over Baltimore. Oh, Houston suck. And Houston do have their problems. O'Brien's never been good on national television, 5-10 in primetime games. But – you know, you're around the team. I said earlier this summer, I'm betting on Houston plus the 7.5. And I said, I know they're not coming back to make the playoffs. But the fact of the matter is, my Buffalo Bills are 6-5, holding on to the sixth spot. They're going to lose to the Patriots this week. It's still wide open. This isn't the NFC where 10-6, you'll be out. 9-7 is going to get you in this thing. So, you know, is the atmosphere a little bit better with Houston? Are they going into tonight's game with a little bit more? The morale must be a little bit better, I would imagine.
No, it actually isn't down here in Houston, which is a little bit surprising. Most of the fan base down here has checked out on the Texans.
Yeah.
And, I mean, let me paint for the mind's eye why that could be. This fan base finally got their first World Series ever. This Houston Rockets team is the best team in the West right now. I understand what Golden State has done. I understand that they can still come together and be the better team in April and May and June and all that. But right now, the Rockets team's the best team in the West. Then you got this Texans team that ignited this fan base, giving them their first ever franchise quarterback in Deshaun Watson, a rookie who went his last five game averages, last five games, he almost averaged 40 points a game. And then you lose that guy. The fan base kind of checks out. The give you an update as far as the media feeling here. I saw the Houston Chronicle. They had six writers pick the game. All six of them picked the Ravens. And that was a little surprising to me because I didn't expect that. Because like you said, Gabe, there's two good teams. And you didn't say this part, but you were talking about Buffalo being that sixth seed. You're a Bills fan. You know that team. That's not a good team.
No, it's not.
Baltimore is not a good team. Kansas City has fallen. There's two good AFC teams, New England and Pittsburgh. And we saw Pittsburgh even struggle with Green Bay last night. There's so much parity there. It's anybody's game. And I'm not a big Bill O'Brien fan, but I'll tell you this. He has a four-year track record of when his back's against the wall, getting his players to play the best. Not only would I take the points with the Texans tonight, I would take the money line. I would take the Texans in the money line. I know it's on the road in Baltimore, but you got their best cornerback, Jimmy Smith, dealing with an Achilles injury. I play basketball all the time. I tell you, with an Achilles injuries, trying to cut in and out of breaks against a DeAndre Hopkins is not going to happen. C.J. Mosley dealing with an ankle injury. I can tell you, if they get Steven Anderson matched up against C.J. Mosley, they can exploit that matchup tonight. So I think the running game will be almost obsolete for both teams. But the passing game, and Tom Savage, I've always said he's not a top 20 starting quarterback, but 21 to 32, that's who Tom Savage can be, and he's starting to find his groove.
And if anybody's tuning in right now and, for the first time or watching the network and think, this guy's from Houston, man, he's picking the Texans. Jason Braddock's the first thing from a Houston Texan homer. I can vouch for that.
They've tried to pull my credentials two out of the last 3 years under Bill O'Brien. So, yeah, that would be news to the Houston Texans if I got labeled a homer.
You might be a Clemson homer, though, huh?
right.
Yeah, you might be a Clemson homer. What chaos in college football, huh? This great Shiano stuff. This great Shiano stuff. You know, and I can't believe how quickly they busted out the Penn State stuff. They had big banners, man. And I wonder if Shiano was a good coach if they would have used that route. Like, you know, that they would have cared so much. Like, the morality of Tennessee Volunteer fans really shocked me yesterday with this stuff. I'm thinking, if he was a great coach and you liked him, would you guys be bringing this up? But you got Lane Kiffin now, potentially. You got Chip Kelly, UCLA, great hire. Dan Mullen, great hire in Florida. And then, meanwhile, you got Tennessee. What a freaking circus and amateur hour, man. We only got 30 seconds, though. But what an amateur hour they run over there now.
It absolutely is. I know we only got a little bit of time, so I'm going to throw out two names that one of the guys who knows more about college football than a lot of people that I know. He works up here at the station. And he threw two names at me that were both intriguing, T. Martin and David Cutcliffe. And that David Cutcliffe name I really love. I think that might actually be the best thing
leaves.
To happen.
We got to get out of here, Jason. He never leaves, Duke. I don't know. He seems to like it. T. Martin, great call. T. Martin did something Peyton Manning couldn't do. Beat Florida. Also won a national championship.
And his son's at Clemson now.
Yeah. All right. We got to get out of here. Always a pleasure, Jason. Great stuff, my man.
All right. Take care.
And Jason Braddock was coming back with our plays today next.
The award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network is your free fantasy source 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. You can catch this show and many others live on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app, iHeartRadio, or TuneIn Radio. Want to listen on your computer at work? Go to fntsy.com/radio or check us out on YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page, where you can ask questions, discuss topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your questions on the air. The number is 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 days a year fantasy sports network of its kind without a subscription. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your fantasy source.
Time for our plays of the day. We got a lot of them. We're going to go contrarian here. We're not betting massive units on this football game, but we're going to roll the dice with the Houston Texans plus 7.5. Give me the over 39.5. I don't know why the hell Lamar Miller's prop is 70.5. I think he's gone over that's number one, so he's not going to do it against his Baltimore defense. Alex Collins, his production can be cut into now. Danny Wood at his back. Mike Wallace is going to score a touchdown today, plus 162. We're going to go long field goal over 45.5. Blazers and Knicks over the number. Knicks average 109 points a game at the Garden this year. Lakers have lost like a million games in a row to the Clippers. Not tonight. Give me the plus 5 points. Over 214. Syracuse minus 3. Wisconsin plus 7.5. Over 122.5. Later.